with Cocktails and Compliance. We always start off the podcast with our obligatory description of our drinks. Steve?
I know it's close to the holidays and everything, but no drink for me. Too much work to be done. Bill, I hope you're more fun than we are.
No, I've got a glass of water.
Sounds like you're in for all of us, right?
Well, yep. Maybe we'll rename this episode Compliance and Compliance.
Well, we're excited to have everyone listening here. I don't know, Bill, did you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Bill Nealon. I'm the president and CEO of Tax Refund Services, TaxMax. We're going into our 27th tax season, which is it's hard to believe. I can still remember when I got started 27 years ago and hoped I'd get through year one and year two. So here I am a little older, a little heavier, and a little grayer.
That's great. We've known Bill for years, Steve longer than me, I think, on the conference roads. We might have some funny conference stories at the end. We'll see if we can get to those. But let's just start a little bit with maybe some of the background for those people that don't know you or don't know much about you. I mean, how did you get into the industry? What's your start? Most people don't go to college to get a degree in starting TaxMax. So how did you get into the industry?
So I went to college at the University of South Florida. I got a four-year degree in accounting. And I actually started working for Price Waterhouse, which is now Price Waterhouse Coopers, and I worked there for about 3 years. While I worked there, I kind of did some tax stuff on the side, and that's when kind of my tax company officially got started. Then we, as the years went by, end up having four brick-and-mortar tax preparation stores, kind of like an H&R Block. But I noticed as I opened every store, obviously my overhead would increase, and it'd take about an average 2 years to become for a new location to become profitable. So another thing we found,
personal taxes or business taxes or mix?
Personal and small business. I'd say maybe 90% personal and then 10% small business. Schedule C, some partnerships, and maybe a couple corporations.
But how did you make that move with transition over to the business side and then to the specific thing that you're doing now? Was it sudden? Did it happen over years?
It was kind of sudden. So once again, realizing how much overhead we continue to build by opening more locations. As we grew, one thing I found out too is that our best people were sent out to run a new store. So we kept getting thinner and thinner as far as staffing. So we surveyed what all the customers 1 year did with their refunds, and they said they were going to either take a vacation, they were going to make a car repair or purchase a vehicle. So we kind of noticed a little trend there with the vehicle space. So I literally kind of came up with this TaxMax idea and went to a few local car dealers and pitched the idea like, hey, you want to use the customer's refund to purchase a vehicle. And our first year, we got five dealers that wanted to do it. Also, with the convergence of the internet really helped us because the internet was booming. So our first year, we actually put the program on floppy disks. And anytime we had to make an update, we had to mail out the floppy disks for them to go ahead and make their update. And then once we got into 99 and 2000, obviously everything moved to the internet. So we would make a change. It just kind of happened instantaneously. So we were growing our brick and mortar business, and then we're growing slowly the TaxMax business. Our first year we had five dealers and went from 25 dealers into 100. And then now all of a sudden, fast forward 27 years, we're over 3,000 dealers. So we've actually, as of 4 years ago, we sold those actually brick and mortar stores. So we're solely now an online tax preparation business. We're in other verticals besides car dealers, but car dealers is one of our stronger verticals.
So you guys been doing this for decades now. Yeah, and it's interesting that you note this because Steve and I were just having a conversation with dealer principal here for lunch today, and that was one of the questions came up. Are the folks that aren't moving to that online model for their sales, right? We're talking about the dealer market here. Are they going to survive? The consensus was they'll survive, but they're probably not going to thrive. Right, they're gonna survive, but the others are gonna thrive at their expense. So having made that change so long ago, right? Moving online, and as of 2000, do you see any parallels between the way you were able to do that to make that change with your business and what dealers are being faced with today? And is there things they should be thinking about when looking at making that change?
I'd say choice. So I think today dealers should be able to try and do everything and give the customer a choice, right? Do they want to come into the store and look and feel and touch the vehicles, or do you want to just browse online? There's a lot of dealers, I'm sure you know, a lot of dealers still don't have a website. There's a lot of dealers that still don't have the ability to do DocuSign or some form of signing documents outside of the dealership. So I think that at every angle of a dealership's business, they should find out how to handle any situation at the way that the customer wants to handle it. So for example, even we pivoted further. So yes, everything moved to the internet for TaxMax. For this year and last year now, everything has moved towards cell phones. So when a customer wants to use their tax return to buy a vehicle or make a special, seasonal payment for their vehicle, they have the option now to go into the dealership and get their taxes done, or the dealer can send them a link from their cell phone or from their office to a customer who may have COVID in their home, and they can do their taxes online using their cell phone, take pictures of their tax documents. Everything goes to TaxMax here in Tampa, but then the money is released, it goes to the dealership. So we've kind of taken our own advice and are looking at ways to make sure that everything in the TaxMax experience, that the dealer can handle a customer that wants to come in or that may be even a couple hours away. So we've kind of heeded that advice ourselves.
Right. What about, like, I know you said, the changes in the last year or two, just specifically COVID. I know it's been dissected so many times about changing businesses' behaviors, changing customer behaviors. What kind of has stood out or has been one of the biggest changes in your area, maybe to your business as a result of that? How did the COVID event impact what you guys are doing? And from your perspective, maybe, what your customers were doing.
So I guess COVID made us be better. Once again, we had to develop solutions for dealers and for customers who still want to utilize TaxMax and use their tax return to purchase a vehicle, but they weren't able to go into the location for whatever reason. I know a lot of elderly people just don't want to leave their house, and they have all these Uber Eats and these other grocery delivery options. And so we wanted to provide an option for your tax return that we can have your tax return prepared while they're still at home. As far as, how the industry in the last, 12 months, on January the 5th, 2021, the IRS dropped the last stimulus check, or dropped a stimulus check, and then the third stimulus check was dropped in March of 2021. So consumers were flush with a stimulus check in January, their tax refund in February, March, and then another stimulus check in March. They may have been utilizing unemployment benefits, so there's been a lot of money floating around out in the United States, and dealers were able to take advantage of that, rightfully so, right? So our best dealers have the best collection rates in 20 years. A lot of dealers that expected to have poor sales had great sales. So a lot of dealers were not purchasing the amount of cars they should have been, because myself included thought that, oh my gosh, the sky's falling, that everyone's going to hunker down in their homes, no one's going to go out. Well, they now, instead of wanting public transportation, they wanted a vehicle. Because of COVID, they didn't want to ride the bus. They didn't want to take the train or the subway. So transportation became the top of the food chain for health and safety reasons, that they can be in your own vehicle, in your own space, and not kind of be exposed.
So not being a tax person myself, going into 2022, you said, and I know that from studies and reports that I've seen, Americans are still flush with cash, right? There's like $2 trillion still sitting out there unspent. They call this pent-up demand everyone's talking about. And, with changes in tax laws, with the stimulus checks, as far as right now what's law are done, right? And no one can predict what's going to happen. With additional stimulus checks, but just with taxes and the tax law, what are you seeing in 2022 for this season?
That's a great question, because there's more COVID benefits now to pile more cash onto the cash they've already been receiving. So There's been a few major and some minor tax law changes that benefit probably the consumer that makes $70,000 or less, specifically for those who make $30,000 or less. The refundable portion of the child tax credit has increased from $1,400 to up to $3,600 for children under the age of six, and other children it's increased to $3,000. So they've advanced a small portion of it. So they've advanced $1,500 of it from July to December 15th. That refundable portion of those monthly checks has ceased and is not being renewed. So when you get to January 15th, those monthly checks will stop. So consumers will be looking very heavily for their tax refund. But even though they're getting some of this money advanced, they will still get an extra $100 per child in the refund compared to that of last year. The earned income credit is rising from pretty much anywhere from 1 to 3%, which it usually does every year. But the big change with earned income credit is for single taxpayers with no children. The law used to be you had to be 26 years or older and make less than $15,000 a year, and you can get up to $500 in earned income credit, which is basically just a government grant. It's free money just added to the bottom of your refund. For 2022, that age has been lowered from 26 now to 19, and the income barrier now is $27,000 or less. So my daughter is 19. She's a student. She made about $5,000 or $6,000 over the summer. She had about $300 in taxes withheld, but she's also getting $1,000 now in earned income credit. So that maximum earned income credit for the single people with no kids went from $500 to $1,500. So there's a lot of big refunds coming out for that demographic of people that don't have children. So you have a 20-year-old middle.
So do you see dealers, or are you advising them maybe to keep that in mind in terms of new clientele, maybe a market that normally they may see an increase in the number of customers from?
Yeah, so in our training that we do right now with all of our dealers every day is we're stressing two points. One is to look for those single people and do the estimator. We have an estimator that will estimate the consumer's refund in 90 seconds. Usually if they're single with no kids and under 25, they didn't expect a refund, so they didn't bother with it. So now a refund may go from $300, $400 up to $2,000, as well as another bucket of individuals were those on fixed income. So they're on Social Security and they have two kids. Historically, the refund's zero because there is no earned income. An exception for this year is they can get up to $3,600 per child, where in the past they couldn't, because if you had no earned income, then you didn't get the child tax credit either. So you have someone on Social Security with two children, and their refund could be as high as $7,200. So we're telling dealers to look out for that as well. Some of our channel checks show that anywhere from 11 to 14% of the consumers they sell cars to are people on fixed income. And then another 25% were those that were the single filers with no kids.
Kind of makes you wonder whenever I see these massive programs like that impact so many people, or in this case, that's going from 26 to 19 to a pretty big darn change in that dollar amount, right? Going from under 20 to 27 or 28, you said, that's pretty big. I mean, that's a behavior changing move in terms of, a lot of the trends have been the last, they say 10 years, and younger people not as likely to be willing to enter into, a contract or, purchasing vehicles less frequently. And you just kind of wonder if that something like this, even if it's a shot in the arm, might change behavior.
Well, an even bigger change is the daycare credit this year. In the past, the daycare credit was only used to pay any taxes owed. And if there's no taxes owed, for example, you had somebody who made less than $25,000, they had two children, their tax liability is zero, there's no taxes owed, they could pay $1 million in daycare and it wouldn't help them at all. This year, they get 50% of their daycare back in their refund up to $16,000. So if they have two or more children and they paid more than $16,000 or more, they get 50% of that $16,000, so let's say $8,000, is just added on to that $10,000 refund they have already. So they can make $24,000 for the year, have two or three kids, the refund's $9,000, and if they had daycare, the refund can now be $17,000. for someone who just makes $22,000 or $24,000 a year. So how's that for big?
Holy mackerel.
And a lot of people don't know that yet. So when they start filing their taxes, and we're trying to educate our dealers right now to say, hey, you know, do you have daycare? Do you have children? Here's let me estimate your refund real quick. It's December the 16th, and I can, you know, access and use a small portion of your tax return. And instead of getting a $1,000 down payment, now dealers are getting a $3,000 down payment. They're able to shrink that term by 21%.
Well, someone with a four-year-old, I'm like right now like writing all this down, making sure I ask my tax guy. So
yeah, that's great.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. It's really important that you, with that tax background, are up to date on those changes and can help advise dealers on, you know, what kind of behavioral changes to, you know, to expect from their customers, and they communicate that, right? You're right, because a lot of times they don't know, and once they know, that you know, they're going to make a different decision on what they're going to do in the next year.
What differentiates TaxMax from a lot of other companies out there is that we literally write our own tax program. So I literally write the tax software. So in order to write the tax software, I have to know what the tax laws are. So I literally know the numbers, the percentages, the jargon, refundable or not refundable. So we run models, we test our software. So we're ready to go for January, and we already, and once again, we know the biggest tax law changes. Most consumers, you're right, are not aware. They may think they're getting a $4,000 refund because I've been receiving these advanced child tax credit payments every 15th of the last 6 months, and my refund's going to nothing. That's not true. The refunds are going to be higher than ever, and then with the daycare, they're going to be the largest refunds in U.S. history.
Wow. Wow.
I'm sorry.
I mean, that's huge. And so I'm guessing, you know, in terms of the program that I'm familiar with, you know, have been for many years, with that going on, even just for 2022, let's say, it all goes away, but even for the 2022 year, I mean, what, maybe talk about like a success story, and why wouldn't someone want to, you know, take advantage of this, you know, in terms of helping the consumer, you know, maybe purchase a car that they wouldn't have otherwise been able to do.
We've got a couple. So we've got, you know, a large dealer group that did over 25,000 special tax payments in 2021, and it's still going on. And they helped all these folks that, like you said, maybe can't afford a vehicle, or, you know, to help with down payments. Our channel checks are showing that down payments are starting to shrink a little bit. Some of the excess cash is kind of being burned up by, you know, some individuals out there in the market. We're also seeing delinquencies are starting to rise, not in an alarming way, but the bottom of the curve has obviously been set. And delinquencies are starting to rise, you know, slightly. So being able to utilize a part of the future tax return to help vehicles either get into a car for the first time or help them stay in their car because they're a little bit behind because now we're in the holiday season. You know, people are starting to spend more, you know, with inflation. Inflation's out of control. So folks are spending more money at the grocery store. They're spending more money on clothing. You know, I just did some shopping around Black Friday, and the sales weren't what they are used to. But, you know, you still need it and you still spend it. So some of our best dealers are able to utilize this tax season right now. Whether you're a large dealer, one of our smaller dealers, you know, they only sell 15, 20 cars a month. But utilizing tax season right now, they're selling 40 cars a month. So.
Yeah, and I would think from a compliance standpoint, the last few years and especially going forward with the current administration, ability to pay has been a really big issue. You know, and anyone who's bought a car ever knows that the best way to get your payment down is, you know, with a bigger down payment. You know, if you have it, go ahead and, you know, put it down. Obviously, you know, especially depending on your interest rate. But it would seem that would be a good tool. And I don't know, Steve, if you want to chime in on this part of it, in order to making more people eligible by, you know, bringing that regular payment amount down.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly depends on the dealer and the kind of collateral they keep, but yeah, certainly. it's a game changer. I've talked to some of Bill's clients, and you know that they've given me a before and after in terms of the way TexMex has helped transform their business, and then it's a huge advantage when you're able to get that extra money down. It's good for the dealer, it's good for the customer too. They're paying a lot less interest, you know, over the term.
Steve brings up a good point. It is good for the consumer. If you're able to reduce the term of the loan that the consumer is paying by 21%, you know, you're doing them a favor by saving them some interest. You're also, you know, you're putting the price of cars that you dealers are paying today is, you know, anywhere from 20 to 40% more than you did, you know, a year and a half ago. Down payments, the same, are starting to soften. The only way to solve that problem is lengthen the term. And if you put someone in a vehicle that's a 2014 vehicle that has 150,000 miles, and I'm hearing dealers now doing terms of 60 months, 72 months, like, oh my gosh, that car's not going to run that long.
Yeah.
So if you're able to reduce that term from 60 months and get it down to 48 or 50 months, it is a win for the consumer. And you are doing right by the consumer, putting them into a position that they can actually pay for that vehicle. And you can utilize the irregular payment all 365 days a year. That's the beautiful thing. So whether it's December 16th or May the 16th, you can use it all year round.
Bill, make that point, because I remember talking to you once, and I was under the impression that your product is it's seasonal. And you were telling me, no, I mean, it's something that folks could really use and benefit from all year round.
Yeah, our best dealers. Now, it used to be seasonal. Now, let's rewind to the 90s and in the early 2000s. The program was strictly just January, February, March. Then we started our preseason fourth quarter program. That probably started more in 2010. That's where you utilize tax season starting in October. And about 4 years ago, we rolled out our regular payment program. And the definition of an irregular payment basically is just a balloon payment scheduled in the middle of the contract. And what you're doing is you're scheduling the payment that aligns at a time that they're receiving a large sum of cash, and which is their tax refund. And you can literally do this all 365 days of the year. So if you sell a car on May the 15th, you can still get your $1,000 down, or whatever you can still get down. It's not a zero down promotion. I want to make sure we get that clear. It's not a zero down. It's a promotion where you get a down payment that you're willing to do the deal, and then you estimate the future tax return, and you take another $1,000 or $1,500, and you schedule that payment in the contract around February the 28th or March the 7th, and they utilize their tax return to make that special payment. It's Reg Z compliant, and once again, compliance is a big thing, right? If you do the irregular payment, it's in the contract. It's Reg Z compliant. It accrues interest. It's not a pickup payment or a side note, which may be like a little sloppy in the dealer world. So,
yeah. What about marketing? You bring up a good point. We've had a lot of chatter and been conducting a lot of reviews of advertising and marketing policies and training programs lately. And is there something that the dealers need to think about or consider? Is there a way that they market this, or is this something that they have to wait for the consumer to come in for them to tell them about?
You know, that's an excellent question. A lot of dealers think of literally what you just said, that a consumer is just going to walk on your lot and say, hey, help me out. Let's use my tax return and give me a better deal. It literally has to be built into the culture of the dealer. So our best dealers, best practices, the secret sauce is you literally just ask every customer, would you like to better your deal by utilizing a small portion of your future tax return? That is the secret sauce of this whole program. Our dealers that do that will do 100, 200, 300 deals extra per year. You know, we have that one dealer I talked about did 25,000 special seasonal payments. They just asked, do you want to better your deal? Do you want a better deal? That's it. Do you want to lower your payments? Would you like to pay less interest? Would you like to, instead of paying me for 36 months, would you like rather pay me for 30 months? They all say yes, right? That's the nature of the business. So that's the secret sauce. As far as marketing, obviously you can do your usual marketing, piggyback on your existing advertising. January, February, you know, you should advertise, bring your W-2 drive out today. One of our great marketing campaigns is in October, November, and December. It's drive now, pay later. And you hang that banner up, or you put that on your website or on your social media. People think, well, I'm going to drive now but pay later, and they flood your lot, brings you tons of lot traffic.
But and you work with them, and you provide some of this material, and you've had, yep, and this has been approved, and I know this is one of the reasons why Steve and I are you know, fans of yours and your program, is because you are able to help dealers present these benefits to their customers, to the consumers, in a way that's transparent and fair and compliant.
Yeah, when you sign up with us, number one, we help you and train you. We have live webinars every day. We've got recorded webinars. We do give you the marketing materials that are compliant and legal. We give you the you know, drive now, pay later campaigns, the buy your taxes here, drive home today. We help every dealer. We'll talk to them, say, look, what are your goals? Are your goals to sell more units? Are your goals to just get bigger down payments but not sell any more units? Or is it both? Well, our goal this year is maybe collections on past due accounts. So based on your goals, we'll tell you out of 27 years of experience. Look, we've done over a million tax deals. We've worked over a million car deal sales, okay? That's billions of dollars of doing things right and doing things wrong. So if you sign up with us and listen to us, that you don't have to lose and spend the billions of dollars to find out all the best practices. We've got them. We just ask you, what are your goals? And we'll tell you what the best thing to do is to achieve those goals. And
I was just going to say, my perception at first, I guess, you know, maybe 8, 9, 10 years ago, first seeing you at one of the conferences and us talking, was that this was and like Steve said, a one-time thing, but, you know, not only is it ongoing, let's say I have, existing customers, you know, that maybe didn't participate in it, or I wasn't a Tax Max client as a dealer at the time. I mean, can they work the program in with their existing customer base? How does that work?
Absolutely. So a lot of our best dealers will do is they'll look at their customers that they have right now, and they'll run a report and say, okay, these are the people that have less than 12 months left on their contracts. They'll contact them and say, hey, we're running a promotion where you can utilize your tax return, trade in your vehicle, and then get into a newer car. So that's a great way to utilize your customer base. Some of our dealers will utilize, doesn't matter if you just bought a car yesterday, and say, well, if you make over $1,000 principal payment, that we'll do a free oil change and a free car wash. If you do $1,500 or more, we'll give you a coupon for new tires when you need new tires. For $2,000 or more, we'll rewrite your loan. There's all kinds of things that dealers can do to get their hands on that tax money.
Wow. That's a really smart way. Those kind of incentives, the way you're talking about them doing it is a good way, a compliant way, to offer those benefits to those dealers. Steve, any questions for you? I've been talking a bunch. I didn't know Steve had a question.
I'm curious. You know, a lot of times we work with the owner, the dealer principal, but it seems like some of our best success is when we're able to work with the various departments, the managers in the departments, and we kind of get immersed into the company. I got to imagine it's the same way for you, and your best success is when you're really talking to everybody about this. So this is the first thing they think about when they start talking to a customer.
Yeah, and once again, it's about a culture. You can't just talk to an owner and say, okay, this is the program. They say, oh, it's a wonderful idea. And then it doesn't get much past the owner, or they just say, okay, I'm going to stick the banner up. And just as, you know, mentioned earlier, the customer's going to say, hey, give me that. It's got to be in the culture. It's got to be what a lot of people do in marketing. They market to their consumers outside of their dealership with billboards, radio. They'll even market on the lot with hang tags and other types of posters. But they don't market to their employees, so their employees understand truly what's going on. We've even had phone calls from some, you know, decent-sized groups where an employee will call us and say, hey, a consumer wants to take advantage of the tax program. I don't even know what's going on. Can you tell me what to do? So I always say we have a three-step marketing program. You market outside your lot. Number two, you market on your lot. And then number three, you market to your employees. You really want to make sure they know what they're doing.
That's great advice. Hey, can I switch gears for a little bit? Because you and us, TaxMax and Ignite, we are doing something together with some other companies. So let's switch gears and talk about Buy Here, Pay Here United a little bit. I know you're excited about it.
No, I'm really excited. I think it's the newest thing that's coming around that's specifically for education, specific for Buy Here, Pay Here dealers.
So we're going to be having the first annual summit in Las Vegas in April, and it's going to be an opportunity to have dealers get together, learn from other dealers.
Yeah, it's a group of us vendors got together. A lot of dealers have been asking where else we exhibit, where else they can get additional education. We got together and figured we would put something together that's specifically just for buy here, pay here, and make sure it's education for buy here, pay here dealers, including buy here, pay here dealers to assist in the education. If I challenge any dealer to go to the it's bhphunited.com. On the upper right-hand corner of the webpage, there's a spot where they can submit a topic. And we'd like, and we are receiving topics and questions from dealers of problems they're facing today. So we want to make sure that when we have this first annual conference in Vegas in April, that the agenda is being literally put together by dealers asking us what problems they have that they want solved. The cool thing, too, is we're going to do things a little different. We're going to implement technology in all of the sessions, where people can text questions that throughout the session of what they want answered. And let's say they don't get their question answered in that session. At the end of every day, we have an hour allotted for a wrap-up. And Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think even if we go over the hour, we've all committed to stay in the room as long as questions are still being asked. And they can basically, it's just like a rapid fire. Here's just random questions they can ask the seven of us that are putting on the conference, or they can ask any dealer in the room. We also have a dealer board where we've selected dealers throughout the country, all buy here, pay here, all in different states and all of different size of operation. So whether you sell 5 or 6 cars a month or 500 or 6 cars a month, there'll be dealers on the dealer board representing you that you have the ability to reach out to and get your questions answered. So we're going to be very different.
We're super excited to participate in this. We really hope to see everybody in April. Just keep on going back to bhphunited.com, that there's going to be updates throughout the winter.
Yeah, no, buy here, pay here, bhphunited.com. Folks listening, this is going to be a game changer. You know, we really feel like this is going to be one of the most important, at least as a company here at Ignite, and I know that that our colleagues in the organization agree, this is going to be one of the most important things that any of us have done in the last 5 years, right?
In terms of
for the dealer, it's going to be groundbreaking. The approach is going to be groundbreaking. The communication is going to be groundbreaking. Like Bill said, technology is going to be a key. The ability to interact with each other, to set sidebar meetings up with each other. Bill might want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, there's no exhibit hall. There's no sales pitch. Nobody's going to corny anywhere to, get a business card. You don't even need business cards because there's going to be none of that type of interaction. You may want maybe business cards to give to other dealers, but it really is a spot that we want dealers to be able to speak freely, feel safe. As far as, not being sold, there's no sales pitches here. We're literally taking the topics being presented by the dealer board, as well as dealers going to that website, bhphunited.com, submitting topics literally of problems you're facing today, not problems you faced 2 years ago. There's problems right now of inventory. There's problems of staffing. There's problems of compliance, right? Once you use it, say we have a change of administration, a very democratic administration. The CFPB is getting their feet back. And there's so much more working in a COVID world. How do you sell a car remotely? I just talked about how you can do tax max remotely. GPS, there's going to be all kinds of topics. And you can literally submit a topic during the class, during the conference. Whether you're in the class or at the end of the day, you can literally say, oh my gosh, I just got a call from my dealership and XYZ just happened. What do I do? And you can literally pose that question. You can stand up with a microphone and ask that question, or you can use your cell phone and text it anonymously. And then the room is going to answer that question for you and give you various answers and opinions. And once again, there'll be dealers of all size there. You sell 5, 6 cars a month. You still have the same compliance issues, but you may do sales and marketing a little different. You're going to be able to get answers from your peers in that instance. Yeah, and I was in a meeting earlier today, and I guess so far we have 74 topics that have been submitted. So we're in the process of incorporating as many of those topics as possible. And once again, if we don't have a class for the topic that a dealer submitted, they can still pose that question in the middle of a class or at that wrap-up period at the very end. Every day, has an hour allotted at the end. I believe it's from 4:30 to 5:30. The show's over. You know, if we run out of questions at 5 o'clock, then we're done at five. But the show's over between 5 and 5:30. That way, people have full reign of Vegas. They can go out and enjoy a show, have a nice dinner, relax at the pool. It's going to be 80 degrees out there. But from 9 to 5, you're going to get all of your questions answered.
Yeah, and that will be at the Bellagio. It's going to be April 10th through the 12th. Steve, do you have any final words?
No, I just want to thank Bill. It's been great to have you on. I've really enjoyed developing a friendship with you. I think the world of you, so thank you very much.
Same here, Steve. Can't wait to see you guys on the road.
Bill, thanks for being here again. Hopefully we'll have many more conversations leading up to the summit. But thank you very much for being here and sharing your insight, sharing your industry insight about what's where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, everyone.
Signing off till next time. Everyone have a great day.